Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Fae World by Eve A. Hunt, narrated by Chandra Sky. Chapter 1. Fat lot of good magic was. Sure, I'd portaled us out of the cursed castle, but I'd only landed us at the feet of a fae who seemed to think we were the enemy. I needed to find some mages to help me harness my newfound power. One would think my magic would give me a hand with that. But alas, here we were with no helpful mages in the vicinity, and death just one magical jolt away. Trapped in vines controlled by a fae who looked like a cross between a Viking and a runway model, I rolled to my side to see Lucas talking and gesturing. It seemed the fae had released Lucas while I'd been knocked out. But more leafy vines held Hecla beside me. She was staring at the sky. I scooted closer, feeling raw, inside and out. Now, nothing would ever be the same, because Hecla knew about this world. We'd never be in the bakery, working and laughing, without anything more to care about than making rent and finding a new place to go climbing. A chilly fog swirled through the golden light of early morning as I realized we were in a sort of outdoor room. Massive oaks like the ones Baccio and Aurelio had disappeared into made up three walls, and the ground was carpeted with yellow and green moss. "You okay?" I asked Hecla. "Not really, but thanks for asking. What happened to you just now? The jerking and pain you were in?" A tear slipped from her eye as she studied my face. I swallowed, hating that she'd been pulled into this madness. I can do magic. Bizarre, insane, but true. You saw it in the lightning that brought us here. Hecla squeezed her eyes shut and took a slow breath as I continued. The vines slithered over her shoulders, and anger welled over my fear. I'd brought us here. This was my fault. I'm a mage, and I need to learn how to work with the Earth's energy lines, or I'm probably going to have some major health issues soon.
Your magic was hurting you?
Yeah, the portal I cast was supposed to bring me to a mage who could help me learn to diffuse some of my magic into the ley lines. Obviously, I still suck at this whole casting thing, because I see zero mages up in here. The blonde fae hissed something quick and quiet to Lucas. Hair tousled messily around his horns. He looked from the henge to the winged fae female. He straightened his cloak.
"I thought we were the last," he whispered.
My chest ached. When he'd first seen the fae, a desperate joy had softened his fierce features. But now that she'd proven to be less than welcoming, his shining eyes had gone hard. It had to be tough to think he was going to have a great time with his kind again, only to realize they saw him as an enemy. The blonde fae snorted and rolled her eyes, her braids shifting to show tiny jagged horns that I hadn't noticed earlier.
"Obviously, you're not the last of the fae."
Her words trickled from fae into English, Lucas's magic working with the tree roots underground to cast understanding through everyone present.
"We are the last. I don't know who you are or how you arrived."
Lucas glanced at us, his jaw tightening with what I guessed was worry. I looked at the blonde.
"My portal was supposed to take us to a mage. Where are we?"
The blonde eyed me like I was a cut of beef, and she was deciding on whether or not I was good enough for the grill.
"You are a mage, but you lie. Portals do not work here. We are our own country, our own kingdom. But if you ask with regard to where we are in the human world, we are in the northern region of England."
"Holy shit,"
Hecla and I said in unison. That was some amazing magic that could chuck us all the way from Tennessee to northern England.
"I need to find a mage to train with, please."
I wished Hecla still had her shotgun. The blonde fae's glare cut me.
"We have mages."
Pursing her Botox-looking rosy pink lips, she adjusted one of the many rings glinting from her long fingers. The ring on her thumb looked like a claw, like a real claw, torn from a bear.
They are safe from the outer world.
Her half-slitted gaze told me she wasn't telling the whole story. These non-lying fae sure were great at deceit. I quirked an eyebrow at her, steeling myself against her impressive presence.
So you and the mages have a nice little relationship? Unlike the ones who used to fight with my boy Lucas here and his brothers?
Perhaps the relationship is not what you would consider nice.
She pushed one of her many icy-hued braids over her shoulder, where blue swirls of paint covered the skin exposed by the slits in the top of her tunic.
But the mages are indeed safe from the outer world.
I leaned toward Hecla.
I realize I have years' worth of explaining to do, but know this. Fae can't lie, but they are simultaneously the craftiest bunch of fuckers I've ever met. Keep that in mind.
The blonde whirled, her belted tunic whipping around her knees. The golden embroidery on her hem sparkled.
Did you say brothers?
Her gaze darted to Lucas. Aurelio, Baccio, and Kaipa had been smart to get while the getting was good. Lucas extended his wings like he was stretching, but I wondered if maybe he was showing off his wingspan in some sort of power display.
Release them, and I will tell you everything.
The blonde crossed her arms, her gaze lighting on Lucas's wings, chest, and face. A pang of jealousy thrust its way through my heart, and I remembered something I wished to forget. Lucas was my fated mate. Whatever that meant. Well, I suppose it meant I would feel super pissy when another gal had elevator eyes for him.
I will, if you swear to keep your mage and human by your side, and under control,
the blonde fae said.
Agreed.
Gritting my teeth, I kept my retort to myself. I wanted out of these bodylock vines more than I wanted to tell Blondie to F off. She nodded, and the vines fell away, allowing Hecla and me to take a real breath. I straightened my dirty white shirt and tugged my ripped jeans back into place. I was super glad I'd donned my trusty black motorcycle boots before I'd worked that last spell in the cursed castle with Lucas. This was no time to be barefoot. Situations like this called for some good shit kickers.
Come, you can explain all to my mother, using those fine manners of yours.
Blondie led us down a path lined in ferns that were populated by snails as big as my fist. Lucas dropped back to walk with us.
Are you well, Corin, Hecla?
I redid my messy bun to keep my hair out of my face. I think Hecla is tired of that question. Hecla removed an errant dark blonde hair from my shirt, then stared straight ahead.
Yep.
I shrugged at Lucas, masking the tremor of fear and anger running through me with forced nonchalance. Maybe try it again after I find a mage who can keep me from electrocuting myself with magic, and when Hecla is safely back in our bakery's kitchen. Hecla pointed at me.
What she said.
Lucas's gaze strafed the surrounding trees and the dark shadows that housed pools of night, even though the rest of the world had embraced the day.
I don't know what the woman meant about portals not working here. Stay close. Baccio and Aurelio will be keeping an eye on us. They are here if we need them.
You sure about that? Baccio isn't my biggest fan. Now that he knows you are helping me, a mage, he might decide he's better off without us both.
He is my brother. He will not fail me.
I shrugged. I didn't share his optimism.
Where did the others go anyway?
Hecla tripped over a tree root, and I caught her elbow. They disappear into trees to feed on energy. I know. It's super strange.
Cool, though.
She stared straight ahead, her cheeks pale.
Yeah.
And the vampire.
That guy who attacked us at the theater was a vampire, right?
Hecla picked at her cuticles, a nervous habit I hadn't seen her do since we'd opened the bakery.
You're doing great absorbing all of this.
Hecla flashed a nervous smile and pushed her hair away from her wide cheeks.
I honestly thought your Aunt Viv was pretty smart for a nutcase.
My mouth popped open.
You believed her all this time?
No, but I didn't not believe her.
I frowned.
That makes no sense.
Yes, it does. I held off on judgment.
Hecla tugged her sweater's sleeves over her hands.
Ah, okay. Well, to answer you, yes, Kaipa is a vampire. He isn't all bad, I guess. He kind of helped me here and there.
Hecla shot me a glare.
In between attacking you and me?
Yes.
You need to set your standard a touch higher on the what is bad scale.
It's been a long week.
In a line, we snaked through a forest with more oaks as tall as skyscrapers. A scent that reminded me of that mulled wine stuff Aunt Viv used to make suffused the air. Weird. Not bad weird, but still. We came to a silver pond that reflected the oaks, ferns, and the sunrise-painted clouds barely visible between the branches. At a flat rock covered in bright yellow moss, the Fae stopped and turned.
As you enter the inner realms of our court, you will feel as though you are drowning. The sensation only lasts a few moments.
Delightful. I rolled my eyes, wanting Hecla to join in the mood-lifting sarcasm, but she still looked like a cat tossed in a bath.
How did you manage this?
Lucas asked the blonde. He bent at the surface of the water and touched the rippling silver with one finger.
As I said, we have a relationship with mages. They prepared a haven for us in exchange for community here, because they were ostracized by their own and by humans.
Without another word, she walked forward into the water and slowly disappeared beneath the gentle lapping waves. Hecla tugged my sleeve, ripping the seam a bit.
I'm not doing this, dude.
Look, I'm not a fan of letting the magical water eat us either, but I don't think we have a lot of choice here.
Chapter 2.
Why can't we just stay? Find a train to Edinburgh and flirt with cute Scotsmen and eat toffee pudding.
That sounds amazing, but I have to see the mages they have here. I'll actually die if I don't. And I don't want you to go because Kaipa and Bacho are out there somewhere, and they know you. They might hurt you.
Hecla picked at her cuticles and took a shuddering breath.
Good points.
Once we figure some stuff out, and I'm not afraid I might die in the next second, we'll make some plans.
Hecla opened her mouth to say something, but shut it again. She was staring at Lucas, and I knew exactly where her thoughts were. She could tell we were a thing.
I made a face.
I don't know where to start. Look, Lucas and I...
She shook her head again. This time she did it so hard that her thick black bangs went askew.
He's hot and all, she whispered. But Corin, promise me we'll go back to our normal life at some point.
My stomach clenched.
I can't make that promise.
Hecla leaned her head on my shoulder and uttered a little whine.
I was afraid you'd say that. Lie to me, friend. Just lie, so I can keep on.
We'll be back at our bakery by tomorrow morning, cursing our struggling refrigerator and mixing jelly for the weekend donuts.
I love that lie.
Me too. I wondered how long it would take Amy to call Titus and alert the police. At some point, this whole thing was going to come out no matter how many excuses I made. I had a strong feeling we would learn the true meaning of opening Pandora's box. Hecla glanced nervously at the immortals, but she followed me to the pond. The water chilled my toes through my boots as I trailed Lucas. Hecla had a vicious grip on my arm, her fingers trembling.
I hated that she was involved in this, but I'd had to bring her through the portal. I couldn't have left her there when I hadn't known if Aurelio's hold on her would do something weird, like murder her when I took him with the spell, or if the curse would have kept Hecla trapped in the castle like it had Lucas and the others. Silver water lapped against my knees, and I plunged forward, wanting to get this show on the road. My face submerged, and I held my breath, but the blonde's voice echoed through the water that wasn't really water.
Take it in. You will certainly die if you don't accept it.
I tried to see Hecla beside me in the pond, but my vision was too blurred. Everything had a hazy greenish cast, and only indiscriminate shadows crowded the space around me. I opened my mouth, and the magical liquid rushed over my tongue, tasting like mulled wine. I coughed, but of course that didn't clear my mouth. The water coursed down my throat and into my lungs, and I jerked hard, pulling away from Hecla as I stumbled, then floated. The pain was a brand on both sides of my chest, and I longed to scream, to beg for help. The blonde's voice reverberated through the water.
Accept it. Take it in. If you don't listen, you will die in a moment, mage. Even with the power you possess, this spell will swallow your aura whole, and you will be a husk. You will be done.
Easier said than done, I shouted silently, my body fighting the pain, and my spine feeling like it was about to crack in two. I couldn't control this. I couldn't take it in and accept it. What the hell? How was I supposed to relax when I was dying? Then a hand covered mine, strong fingers warming my tender skin. Lucas. He brushed my knuckles, then drew me close. I couldn't open my eyes to see him, but the heat of him there and the touch of his lips against my forehead eased my struggle. The fight went out of me, and I relaxed into his arms. The burning pain in my lungs faded, and suddenly he was carrying me out of the pond and into a world of sparkling golden light. I breathed in, heart still pounding, and my body warming against Lucas's powerful arms, hard stomach, and chest. His scent wafted over me, pines and spice, as he whispered something in Fae, the drumming of his voice echoing the beat of my heart. I wanted to stay here forever, in his arms, protected and... My eyes flew open. The blonde glared at us, but I ignored her, searching instead for any sign of Hecla. Had she gone through? Where was she? Lucas set me down, and I belatedly noticed our clothes weren't wet. What was that? I straightened my shirt. What happened?
She is there.
Lucas pointed toward a shape in a blanket, tucked between the knobby roots of an oak. Hecla's face appeared out of the striped folds.
Corin?
I ran to her and hugged her hard.
You okay? You were in there for an hour.
She looked seriously pissed off.
Really? Yep. Listen, you're not allowed to perish. Don't bail on me, woman. This is beyond what I can deal with.
I hugged her again. My bad, pal. I'll try my best not to die in a magical pool of water. Pinky swear. She chortled and wiped her nose. Her eyes were red, like she'd been crying.
No, no. You swear on chocolate croissants. I'm not settling for a mere decorative digit on this one.
I put a hand over my heart. I swear it. The blonde strode off toward a cluster of thick and woody vines.
My mother awaits. You will need to bow to her and give up your alpha role.
Lucas traded a look with me that said, yeah, no. I walked closer to him.
Thanks for the save.
He touched my arm briefly, his gaze on the back of the blonde.
Do you have any idea why your portal spell brought us here? Did you somehow know there were other Fae?
The portal was supposed to bring me to where mages were safe. At least, that's what I was going for.
Perhaps this is the only place where mages still live,
Lucas said.
I am thoroughly surprised there are more of my kind.
I touched his chest. The bond between us pulled taut and humming.
I know. I'm glad for you.
I hoped it would end up being a good thing. So far, the blonde wasn't getting me too pumped for the existence of more fae. I wrapped an arm around Hecla as we passed under a rocky overhang jutting from the side of the path.
Are you glad or worried they might not be as excited to see you as you are to see them? I asked Lucas.
She is certainly not warm.
Lucas raised an eyebrow at the female fae.
But hopefully the rest of her kingdom isn't so.
Prickly? She really hates that you're another alpha.
I don't know why. Every fae kingdom once had an alpha. I have no say here, in this realm, nor would I attempt to take control.
But your information is a touch dated, isn't it? He frowned.
I haven't spoken to another fae since the night of the curse.
Things might have changed in the last few centuries.
I suppose we shall see.
Lucas looked as worried as I was. Chapter 3. Under the wind-shuffled oaks, a woman with haunting eyes watched us approach. Her pale red hair nested in loose braids around her black antlers, and her presence rushed over me, pressing and alluring, before we were even close enough to see her features clearly. She wore a high-necked gown made of bluebells with glittering stitches that reminded me of a spiderweb touched with dew. Each hand boasted a large sapphire ring, and I mean large. The rocks were as big as a half-dollar coin.
Wow, the aesthetic is strong with this one.
I blinked, trying to figure out if I was scared or simply in awe.
Damn it, no, no, no.
Hecla murmured like she was chanting and hoping sheer will would make this all disappear. More fae stood beside the female alpha, and others lounged on chairs and chaises made of roots and moss. Some had horns, spindly, short, tall, and jagged. I think they had to hold ruling blood to have the horns. That was my guess, anyway. Wings of ivy and vine lay folded behind all the fae's backs, not hidden by glamours as sometimes Lucas and his brothers had done. Though some of them had moss for hair or eyebrows, their features were sharp and painfully beautiful, just as the fae I'd seen in Lucas's memories, but these didn't have kind eyes. They pretty much all had resting bitch faces, with cold gazes and postures of disdain that spoke of extreme boredom. Viridescent gems and sparkling crystals shone from their ears and fingers, a match to their fancy outfits made of flower petals and oak leaves. A few had leaves sprouting from their palms and twigs for fingertips. Most held golden goblets that seemed to stain their mouths a blood red after they took a lazy sip. The cups had to be the source of that mulled wine scent I'd picked up. One word came to mind as I looked them over. Decadence. Lucas bowed at the waist, so I tugged at Hecla, and we mimicked the move. The blonde daughter spoke to her mother.
This fae suffers under a curse. He and this human arrived through a portal created by their mage.
I wasn't a fan of the phrasing. I didn't belong to anyone. But I bit back my retort, because I would trade a little pride for the chance to keep my powers from electrocuting me to death. I needed access to mages more skilled than me, and I needed them yesterday. The female alpha walked toward us, and it seriously seemed like she was floating.
Arrived by way of a portal, hmm?
She did not seem pleased, more like she was attempting to hide her incredulity.
Welcome to my hill, kin and outlanders. I am called Arlie.
Lucas studied the woman, meeting her gaze with a cool look in his green eyes.
I am called Lucas. I have two brothers who are feeding beyond your enchanted pool, beyond your henge. A vampire was in our party as well, but he has flown away. And this, he said, nodding toward me, is my fated mate. She requests permission to train with one of the mages who lives among you. Your daughter mentioned the arrangement of mages living alongside you.
Their names reminded me that I needed to ask Lucas about whether or not Aunt Viv had been right about true names and the Fae. She always insisted the Fae hid their real names because if someone knew the truth, they gained a sort of power over the Fae. Hecla jerked me close and hissed into my ear.
What did he just say, Corin?
Oh yeah, the fated mate thing.
Oh yeah?
Hecla huffed, eyes popping.
Later,
I whispered as the Fae court scowled at our whispering. Hecla covered her face with her hands. The corners of Arlie's lips rose.
Fated mate, a mage and a Fae. What an incredible rarity. I've never once,
her voice grew sharp,
heard of such a destined pairing. I do wonder how things will work out for you.
As Lucas opened his mouth to speak, she waved him to silence with a willowy hand.
My Corliss told you that we have mages here, did she? My dear does enjoy flaunting her knowledge.
Her words seemed to have multiple meanings, none of which I could grasp. One thing I did know, this lady was shifty as hell. Corliss glared at her feet, obviously wanting to snap at her mother about something but remaining obedient. I would have obeyed too if I'd been in her boots, because damn, her mama was scary. The red-haired Arlie approached Lucas, and I tensed, wondering if she was going to chit-chat more. Or possibly bite his head off. Literally. She grinned, flashing pearly teeth and the edge of a wine-stained tongue.
What is this I hear of a curse? Tell me your story, fellow Alpha.
A shiver traveled down my spine as Lucas went into the details. He refrained from mentioning that I was the descendant of the Mage Duke, perhaps because he thought all Fae hated the Mage Duke. Or maybe he worried his brothers might be nearby and here? His brothers still didn't know, and thank everything they didn't. I didn't need any more trouble. But could Baccio and Aurelio have already finished feeding and trailed us through that terrible magical pond? At the conclusion of Lucas's lengthy recollection, Arlie clasped her hands. Her smile was a twisted thing, full of bitterness.
The Mage Duke cursed you. Sforza himself. Some say he still lives, wrapped in that unique magic of his.
I assumed as much, Lucas said gravely.
And here I'd been hoping the asshat was dead. Arlie's antlers cast spindly shadows over her sharp-boned face.
What a fantastic tale, she said,
her lips pulling away from her teeth in something that resembled a snarl.
Trapped with a vampire, and your fated mate is a mage.
Shaking her head, she laughed, a husky and echoing sound in the thick grove of trees.
And now this powerful mage must train to avoid death. Fascinating.
Her smile fell as quickly as it had appeared, and she narrowed her eyes.
Oh, and condolences for the loss of your brother, she said, referencing Lucas's mention of the fallen Francesco.
How did she know I was powerful? Was it because I'd portaled us here, and she'd claim that was impossible? Lucas's hand drifted toward the red silk tied to his belt, his head bowed in thanks. When he looked up, his eyes had gone flinty.
Now that you've heard our story, would you mind if Corin met with the mages in residence?
He gestured toward me.
She does look a bit wan.
Arlie clicked her tongue, frowned at me, then waved a hand at two large males standing near the oak.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?